Welcome to the Trisexuals, a podcast about spreading your legs and opening your mind. Please be advised that you must be over 18 years of age to ride. Remember that the Trisexuals cover adult themes and concepts and oftentimes use salty language.
The fucking fucktards from fucking hell.
For your safety and the safety of others, please keep your hands in your pants at all times. Enjoy the ride.
For every special snowflake, there are many spots.
What? What?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Welcome to the Trisexuals podcast. I'm Max Chameleon.
And I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
Welcome to the first podcast officially sponsored by the Awkward Salmon.
Sponsored by the what? What are the Awkward Salmon?
You've never heard of the Awkward Salmon, Kit?
No!
Okay, this is the Awkward Salmon. Let me paint for you a picture of the mind. All right, you're standing there. Let's say that you're in line at the ATM. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, wriggles right between your legs, not too close to, you know, anything that would be, you know, sexual in any nature, like somewhere near your knees. Two little hands come flippity-floppeting between your legs like a salmon. And then the person who's doing this behind you yells, "Awkward salmon!" right before they get arrested. But no, it's actually something that people will do it. Well, Lily does it to me.
Yeah, because I learned it from your family.
Yeah, my family did do it. Let's not talk about that. That's inappropriate. Family should not be giving each other the awkward salmon. But you will be getting an awkward salmon when we see you next. Just fair warning.
I hope it's higher than the knees then.
Okay, then!
We're getting good here. That's the determined salmon. That's the salmon that knows where his nesting grounds are. He knows exactly where he's going. Or maybe that's just the pink salmon. I don't know. All right, this podcast has flown off the rails.
Off the rails, I think it went down the stream and out to sea.
Out to sea. Well, this is the first podcast of 2017. Welcome, listeners. We really missed you. We really missed talking to you and talking to ourselves, so I do that quite a bit.
And talking about sex and everything else and annoying Max and my boobs.
And Lily's boobs are already out. There we go. A lot of things have actually happened since our last podcast. I actually now own a fursuit. As some of you may know, I did own a fursuit long ago that I had hand-built, but I got a fursuit from Lemon Brat, a cool green sloth. Lily and I attended MFF, which is Midwest Fur Fest. Lots of cool, exciting things happened there. Met a lot of great people and got to meet, among others, Exotic Erotics, Primal Hardware, and Frisky Beasts there. So always great to see all them. Let's see, Lily got to fursuit a bunch there at her first convention. Well, I guess you did fursuit at RMFC a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was a good time. And I just wanted to let you guys know that Colonel Chameleon is not dead. I know it's been a very long time since we posted anything there. Oh, really? Thanks, Lily. Thanks for your support. As you can see, Lily's been a huge amount of support in these trying times.
I actually have been supportive. I really have.
Things have been a little bit crazy with the holiday season, all that. Nobody wants to hear excuses, but what you do want to hear is the following, and that Cardinal Commune is going to be coming back, hopefully in a big way, and we're probably going to be changing the format a little bit, so that should be pretty exciting, and look for that. Just keep in mind it's not dead.
So it's a resurrection.
Well, no, because it never died. I'm not dead yet. I still got content. And a lot of people are wondering what the heck I'm talking about because I have my freaking evergreen post retweeter set way too high and it's constantly sending stuff out. Sorry about that. I will be taking that to not annoy people quite so much. But anyway, thank you guys for hanging in there and still following us and all that good stuff. So now is the What's Playing section. This is where we talk about things that we've been playing with. I actually haven't been using any toys, but I have been using toys on Lily. That's a very good way to use toys. And what I've been using is actually kind of something that I never really imagined I'd get a chance to play with. But it's a pussy pump. It seems like there should be a more politically correct way to say that. Like, I don't know, a vulva vacuum. You got a pussy pump, you have a vulva vacuum, right? Anyway, this is, it's a like a plastic cup thing that goes over the vulva area, and you pump it up a little bit, and it kind of like draws blood to the region, makes it feel, you know, a lot more sensitive and that sort of thing, and... yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it also sounds like this. It's very addicting to play with. I'm gonna pump you up. Trisexuals. Oh, is that a pussy? I'm going to make it nice and strong and puffy with my pussy pump. I'm gonna pump you up.
All I can think about is that dog that... Oh, that white dog from Tiny Toons?
It was either Animaniacs or Tiny Toons, yeah. He was meant to be the voice of Arnold as well.
Okay, get it out of your system.
Oh, God, I gotta pump it out. Anyway, yeah, this is a really great toy that was sent to us by Bondage Bunnies. And we've had a lot of fun with it so far. I think we're going to be doing a more regular review on it here at some point. But, yeah, that's what I've been playing with. Now, I'm to understand that my two female co-hosts here have actually reviewed a toy from the same company at the same time. Is that right?
Yeah, actually. Yes, yeah.
Exciting. So why don't you two tell us a little something about the B-Swish things that you've tried out?
Oh, sure. So, I got the Be Swish Be Bold Premium one. It's basically, it's a 7-function, water-resistant, rechargeable massager. I actually really enjoyed mine. Kit, which one did you get?
Mine was the Be Soft version, which is actually really ergonomic, and I like that about it. It just, it had a little less power than I really need. So,
I would agree with you on that one. It definitely didn't have the power behind it, but as I think I was talking to you earlier about, it's a good beginning vibration, and then you can go on to your more powerful vibrators in your session, in your play sessions.
Now, we'll have pictures in the show notes of these guys, but to me, the B Swish, now you have the B Bold, Lily, mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
This thing, to me, there's no way I can't unsee it. It looks like a miso spoon. Like, you go to a Chinese restaurant, like, this, you'd see this thing sticking out of the bowl. That's what I see. That being the case, I do believe that shape, unless I'm mistaken, Lily, affords some sort of usability.
Yeah, it's a use of it. I liked it a lot because the usability for not only where the buttons are was actually really awesome. I didn't even have to think about which one was the power, which one was... you know, the increase or decrease, which I really enjoy.
So it's got the two buttons on there. One is the on button, and then the other one changes the intensity slash...
the functions.
Yeah, the functions.
Which I found that this actually works really well for when doing, like, doggy style or something. I don't have, like, a huge beast of a vibrator.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of, that shape kind of lends itself to that curvature. Now, Kit, so you have the what was
soft.
It? The Be Soft. And now that one's more of like,
yeah, it's a really, it's a nice little ergonomic shape, which is nice about it. Like I say, the power wasn't enough for me, but I'm sort of an interesting case because I like insertable toys more than vibrators for the most part. And if okay. I do like a vibrator, I like one with a lot of power, like a Tango or something. So sure. It is something good that you could use as sort of a starter and then maybe, you know, move up into. It's got a really nice... velvety texture to it, which is good, you know, so it's something to think about. And if you like less vibration, then you might really be drawn to something like that. It just wasn't really quite enough for me.
So neither of these toys are meant for insertion, then, no. Really? They're kind of like for clitoral play?
Clitoral play, but this one does have a little bit of curvature, so it could be used for the G-spot. Mm. But for me, it just wasn't powerful enough.
Wasn't powerful enough for that. Yeah. Now, both of these are waterproof, is that right?
This one's water resistant.
Water resistant, okay. Yeah, I do remember...
I believe mine is the same, and mine is definitely not an insertable. Like, it reminds me a little bit of like a WeVibe Touch or something. It's sort of that. Yeah, it's completely a clitoral stimulator.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cool. So it seems like you both have kind of similar things to say on that then.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right. So, Kit, it looks like you've maybe been playing with a few other things.
I have. I brought two toys to talk about that are kind of a similar texture, and it was kind of interesting for me to compare the two. So if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I love texture. Love it, love it. Can't get enough. I have here today with me the Rippler Mini by PleasureWorks and the Echo by Tandis. And they're both good silicone toys. In the bottom, they have a little place where you can put a vibe. They both come with bullet vibes, but for me, you know, I want to put something nice and strong in there. So, you know, a tango will fit just fine. But they have this nice rippled shape down the whole shaft, which is great, but there's a real difference between the two, and it made all the difference in these two toys. I looked at them and thought, wow, they're similar enough, you know, I wonder if they're going to feel the same, but one of them actually works really well for me, and the other not at all, and it has to do two things. So the Rippler Mini is curved, and this is where I already knew this about my body, but this really reinforced it. My body doesn't care for a more straight toy. There is a little curve to the Echo, not a ton, but
so you're not very straight, Kit.
Yeah, if it's straight, I can't get to the good spots. I want to reach, right? And the other is the shape of the head. So the Rippler has this like, kind of a smaller head and sort of a little bit more like maybe almost a realistic shape. It's a little narrow at the tip, and it's really, really good for me to hit all of the spots deep in the body, the A spot and the posterior fornix in particular, which we're going to talk about in a bit. The Tandis Echo actually is really, really like blunt on the end and really straight, and the head is actually like almost 2 inches long. And for me, I'm pretty shallow. I don't have a lot of depth. So this toy actually feels about half smooth to me when I get it in, and then just like one or two little bumps. So if you have more depth and you like something straight, you're going to like the Echo. If you are a little bit more shallow, you like something curved, you want a smaller, more sensation, like a more pointed head, so you can get a little more of a small area when you press, you're going to like the Rippler. So that's a really interesting comparison for the two there, depending on how your body likes it and how it's built.
So yeah, that's great. Yeah, and you know, I see the name Tandis Echo, and all I can think of is anthro bat toy.
That's actually a really cool idea. You could make an anthro bat toy and call it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I wonder what their ding-a-lings look like. Who knows?
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
But no, that's really good. So they're pretty similar, except for the curves and a little bit in the texture, right?
Yeah, well, the curve and the shape of the head, and that makes all the difference in how the texture actually feels to the body. So,
interesting.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to be sticking to the Rippler mostly, which I love Tandis toys. I'm not knocking on this at all. They make absolutely awesome toys. I have a bunch that I love. So it just it depends on the shape of your body. So if you buy a particular toy and you think, oh man, this doesn't, you know, I don't know if I really like insertable toys. It didn't feel good. It may just be that you need something more curved or more straight or more, you know, so it pays to experiment a little bit.
Awesome. So you mentioned something there, and I've heard you mention this before, but I honestly don't know much about it. You said something about the PF spot?
Posterior fornix. Yeah, it's not
what
a very commonly talked about one. So if you've heard of the A spot, maybe. And the A spot is just the anterior fornix. So there are actually, it refers to two different places inside the body. And you can think of it like this. In fact, I'll take you on a whole little tour. If you imagine that you're standing at the doorway of a square room, so you've got a floor, you've got two walls, and you've got a ceiling. So if you look straight up to the ceiling, there's going to be your G-spot. If you follow all the way to where the ceiling meets the back wall, there's your A-spot. That's your anterior fornix. Now, if you go down the wall where the wall meets the floor, there is your posterior fornix. Or I just call it the PF-spot.
Oh, okay.
I don't know another good spot. Yeah, and then you can come across that whole floor, too, of the vagina. It's a really good perineal sponge. So that's a really good place as well. So all of those places are capable of producing an orgasm in and of themselves, and they each feel differently. I've had different feeling orgasms from all of those spots, and they're completely different than a clitoral orgasm. And you can blend and have a clit at the same time as a G-spot, or have them at once. And that's a really, really interesting experience. And it can really...
So it's like different musical notes, and you can hit multiples to form a orgasm chord.
Yeah, it really is. Like the G and A spot and like the inside the vagina spots have a really like deep, profound, kind of huge orgasm. Like the clitoral, like it, the best clit orgasm you've ever had, take it and times it by like 5 or 10 or more from what you can get from the internal spots as well, at least for me in my body. And I thought they were pretty good. You know, I thought the clit ones were pretty good as well. So also you have the potential as you start to play with these different spots in the body of having squirting too, which is really, really fun. It takes a little bit of practice at first if you don't know you can do it or don't know how, but it is something I highly recommend that you learn more about and learn how to do because it feels fantastic.
And I've also known a couple of female-bodied individuals who were potentially capable of squirting. I think everyone is
potentially capable
of squirting. But they were holding back kind of subconsciously because, and correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, because I've not experienced this, but it can feel prior to that squirting experience a bit like you're going to pee, right? Like you can feel like that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, because it's all coming out the urethra, just like it does for a guy. So it's going to feel a little bit like that. And that's one of the biggest obstacles to learning that anyone has, because you worry, oh, what if I pee? What if I make a mess? And you really, you can't pee and ejaculate at the same time. I mean, you're really puffed up. You're really engorged, you know, just like for a man, that's not going to happen at the same time. So you can kind of let that, you know, let that allay your fears a little bit. But if you're worried, the best place, I think, to practice and learn is like in the bathtub or in the shower. Because then you've got no cleanup, no worry. You're just like, I'm just going to give it a go. Because
worst case scenario, you're in the tub already, but it's not going to happen if you're turned on, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, you need to get up to a really high level of arousal. Like, you're not going to be able to do it if you're just barely aroused. Like, I'd say if 0 is unaroused and 10 is an orgasm, you need to start, you need to get up to like, you know, an 8 or a 9. Because you don't actually have to have an orgasm to squirt. You don't. They happen independently. You can have them at the same time. You don't have to. But you do need to be really highly aroused. And you have to push out a little bit with your PC muscles. You can't. Most people, when they try to have an orgasm, they clench up, they squeeze up, and they pull in.
Right.
And it's not really going to happen that way. You have to
tense up,
push and release and relax a little bit too. And with practice, those muscles get stronger. You actually can really get some distance. I've actually been in the tub and hit the wall across.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can get some distance going with it a little bit. But That's really kind of the, I learned from a book, actually. And we'll put the link to that on the website that really walks you through step by step and gives you a little test to see if the pelvic floor muscles are strong enough and how to strengthen them, and then kind of walks you through the process of how to do it. And it takes a few tries. I didn't do it on my first try. I was sort of clenching, and you know, it took a few. And there's actually, if you are upright squatting, it's a little bit easier that first time rather than lying on your back. There are just a few tips and tricks like that that can help make it go a little bit more easy.
Now, Lily, you've squirted before.
Oh yeah, I've definitely squirted before, but it's not been anything with any crazy distance because, you know, I have multiple orgasms, so I think when I get really close to that point, I do exactly what Kit was just explaining, how clench up because it feels so good, and instead it's very hard for me to relax that portion.
Sure.
Sure.
Well, as you know.
And there's nothing wrong with having like multiple ones. In fact, my favorite thing to do is first squirt and then go back with a toy and a vibe and then have multiples after of just like my regular blended G-spot, clit, or A-spot, or any of those good spots. And you can really go for a long time because you're really highly aroused, and it's even more fun after you've already squirted. It's amazing.
Now, you mentioned something further back that I actually hadn't realized, but it obviously makes sense that when you squirt, it comes out of the urethra. Mm-hmm. And that's why it feels like you're going to pee. And like coming to think about it, I'm trying to remember way back when I first started masturbating, and I distinctly remember feeling before an orgasm came like I was about to pee. Like, I think that is probably something that guys feel every time, and we're just kind of used to at this point. Like, oh, I'm coming now. So that makes sense, because really, mm-hmm. when you get down to it, the male and female body are not so different. All the same stuff is really there. It's just kind of in a different configuration, different sizes, different hormones supporting it, right?
Yeah.
So that's just an interesting thought.
Once you get used to the feeling, there is a difference in feeling between squirting and peeing, but at first it feels similar because it kind of is coming sure. through that. And that's one of the reasons why for a long time, you know, people thought it didn't really exist, or squirting was pee. I mean, you still hear that. You still hear that misconception. Yeah. Oh, it's just pee, or oh, it isn't real. And
I can tell you from experience, it doesn't taste like pee.
No. Exactly. Well, when I was first working with this, I got two jars and I squirted into one, and then right as soon as I could, which I couldn't pee for a minute because I was all engorged, had to wait for it to come down, but I peed in the other jar. Well, one jar was yellow, one jar was clear, one jar smelled like pee, one did not. I can tell you, yeah, it doesn't taste, smell, or look like urine at all. It isn't. There are slight traces sometimes, but you would expect that through the urethra. And there's actually all kinds of good science behind this. It's just a matter of there's been so much taboo, so much lack of research, so much like denial that, you know, I mean, I still see articles, you know, does the G-spot exist? And it's like, well, of course it does. I can show you where it is on your body. If you're looking for a round button that, you know, it looks like an easy button or something, you just press, you know, you're going to be disappointed. It's an area, you know, but it is there, and you can find these structures in your own body and prove to yourself they're there.
We know more about the surface of Mars than we do about the freaking female anatomy.
It's true. And we have in various, you know, manuals through time, we've embraced these things and put them in anatomy books. But a lot of anatomy books don't show the structures or don't show them correctly. I mean, even today, even some gynecologists and things don't actually really, you know. Like when I was I took my very first sex ed class, and we learned about the little glands surrounding the urethra where the G-spot is, the periurethral glands, the Skene's glands is what he called them. And he said they were like a vestigial organ. You know, they had no purpose and no use. That's Jeez. What we were taught. And it's like, oh, no. Those puff up with fluid. That's part of where the fluid comes from. There are other thoughts and ideas. We don't totally understand all of what's happening, but So it actually, you know, there's, it's a real thing because once you've experienced it, it's pretty hard to go, oh, well, it doesn't exist. But a lot of people don't even try because they don't think they can, or they don't, they think it takes like some weird special skill or something. And it's all learnable. Definitely.
Yeah, and I definitely think there's people that are just afraid to do it. You know, different sensation, something mm-hmm. that feels different. All this fluid's going to come out. Is it gross?
Yeah, because a lot of people, especially in a lot of females, think that it is gross and it is pee. And that's just something that society...
Even if it's not pee, like, I think...
No, it's...
I've known women, I think, that have, you know, been like, I just don't want to make a mess, you know. And mm-hmm. For a lot of us, it's kind of attractive. Right. I kind of like that.
It's part of the societal pressures that have taught us that things coming out of the body are disgusting.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. Well, and if you're worried about the mess, too, there are moisture-proof throws that you can buy. I know Liberator makes one, but there are also just moisture-proof blankets and things if you want to go a less expensive route. And those are great because you can just let go and make your mess, and they'll dry out and be washable and all of that. So there's a solution for all of these things if you're interested and you really want to learn. Yeah. You know, and it can take some time to practice. And I think that may be difficult sometimes for people because sometimes it takes a while. I've had some really incredible experiences.
Yeah, you got to put some work in.
Yeah, but it takes a while to get really, like, the slower you go, the more turned on you go, the more time you take to really mm-hmm. massage and rub and work with the G-spot in particular, that whole roof of the vagina all the way back is good stuff to work on, that entire roof. The more time you spend, you know, the better experience you'll have with it. And I really recommend, if you're starting, just to start with your fingers where you can feel and work. That's what I use probably 98% of the time when I'm squirting. Still, there is one toy I've successfully been able to use for squirting because it's really targeted. And that's the Enjoy Pure Wand. It's a metal wand. It actually looks like, I think it looks like a smiley face myself. I actually had that.
Well, yeah, because that's your logo.
I actually had that on my Twitter account when I started. But it's actually a really, really heavy piece of metal. And that metal, it's smooth, but it's heavy and it's curved, and it allows you to sort of wiggle around and really press and work on the G-spot so that you don't get so tired in the fingers. So that's something that a lot of people have had a lot of success with. I think it has a little bit of a learning curve. I think if you expect to use it like, oh, I'm just going to use this as a thrusting toy, you're going to be disappointed. Like it's a G-spot wand, and you have to work with your body a little bit. There's a little bit of different technique to really figure out how to massage the whole roof of that and really, you know, work to, but it can really work. It can help you along your path. But I still think if I were learning how to squirt, I didn't know how, I'd go for the book that we'll put the link to in and sort of read that and try the step by step and give it a shot and see how it goes.
I might actually really want to read this book now.
Yeah, it is. It's called Female Ejaculation in the G-Spot. And it's a fantastic, fantastic read. It's probably one of my two all-time favorite sex books I've ever read. I have a few. I have a handful I really like, but there are two in particular that completely changed my life. And this was definitely one of them. So... very, very good stuff. And she has a lot of stuff about the anatomy and the science behind how it works and why it's not pee. And she does a really fantastic job of explaining that.
You know, it's definitely not pee. But, you know, in my opinion, like, so what if it is?
You know, so like, Max, you're telling us you like the golden showers.
I'm not saying that I like the golden showers. I'm not saying I don't like the golden showers. But what I'm saying is...
you're basically pleading the fifth.
Well, no, what I'm saying is this. Let's say that I don't like root beer, right? Like, let's say I do like root beer, but let's say I don't like root beer. And every time, like, there's this thing that I can feel, like, for a different sensation, it's really enjoyable. But every time I do it, root beer comes out my butt, right? Like, that's not going to stop me from doing it. All right, this is crazy. You're giving me weird looks, but I'm just saying that, like, if
so basically what you're telling me is you're ejaculating. Instead of ejaculation coming out your penis, you have root beer coming out your butt.
Yeah. It's someone's fetish.
Oh, my God.
It's someone's fetish, I guarantee you.
But how did they get the root beer up there?
Oh, that's not the point. The point is...
I'm curious about that.
I'm just
that.
Saying that, like, who cares what fluids come out of you? If it feels good, like, put down a freaking blanket, a towel, tarp, someone's mouth, whatever. You just...
I'm still stuck on the root beer. I'm sorry.
Still stuck on the... It's a bad choice. I understand. Now, honey, you've not tried the Enjoy Pure one, have you?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, so we have to try one at some point. And guys can also use that, too, from what I understand. So,
yes.
And they have a spot in the back end, right? Is that the nicknamed the P-spot for prostate? Or am
prostate,
I way
yeah.
off base here?
Yeah, which is why I usually call the I call it the PF spot instead of the P spot in women because prostate
okay.
is already taken. Yeah. Basically, the G spot is the female prostate. So male prostate is just the P spot, the prostate. Yeah. We need better names for these places than just A B C D E F G spot, you know. we need something
like,
more creative.
Yeah.
Well then again, you could just go around and have like the alphabet spots and going like A, B, you know.
You know what we need? We need a game of operation. Right.
Yeah,
like but the difference is it's actually anatomy. And instead of the buzzer being a bad thing, you're trying to get the buzzer to go off, and you have all the different spots there.
You know, that would actually
first
be very
helpful. First trisexuals board game.
That would be very helpful for probably high school students and college students that don't know where the G-spot is.
Or adults, you know, or anyone, because
that's
a lot
actually
of people...
a cool game. And you know, I just realized as we were saying that, I forgot a spot. There is the U-spot,
which I've had...
awesome orgasms from the U-spot. The U-spot is actually a little bit more external. So if you find the opening of the urethra, and you can see that if you just sort of like pull the inner lips apart
right.
a little bit, you'll see a little bitty teeny tiny hole. That's the urethra where the pee comes out. Well, all the way around that soft spongy tissue, that is the U-spot. And
that's where I really
orgasms.
Like to... I like to lick there, yeah.
I was just thinking, I think those are the orgasms I've had a lot.
Yeah, U-spot's a good spot.
Sorry, you said lick and I'm like, I'm in a different place right now.
You sex brain. We're supposed to be on the podcast.
Right? I know. Every time we do that, why would we do a podcast about sex? Why would we do this? Because now it's all I can think about. And then the blood goes away from my brain. It goes to my balls. And then I end up doing goofy shit. Like talking about root beer out my butt. This was a poor decision from the outset.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, the holiday season is actually... Well, I mean, for almost everyone, it's a stressful, busy time of year. For the chameleons in particular, we have... a particular family situation. We're very close with our family, for better and for worse. And we end up kind of getting pulled into situations where we have to spend a lot of time with our family during
basically,
the holidays.
It used to be we had to do 7 families in 2 days.
Oh my gosh, yeah. She's not kidding there. We had like 7 different family people that we had to see due to, you know, divorces and
remarriages
and extended family and all that stuff and people who won't be in the same spot at the same time. Plus, you know, Lily's family, my family, they don't like each other. It's like the Hatfields and McCoys. It's no good. So we used to have to do, like, we had 2 days around Christmas where we had to try to fit everyone in, and specifically our immediate families, both of them would... actually complain if we spent like an hour more with the other family than with the other one. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. And I used to have to schedule it out where we're going to eat at this time and we're going to use the bathroom at this time.
Yes, ladies,
not
you did hear
joking.
That right. He did schedule when I could use the bathroom.
It's not good. It's rough. And a lot of people have tried to help us, like, you know, deal with the situation. You know, like, you got to tell your family stuff.
That's why we moved.
That's one of the reasons why we moved to Colorado. We don't need to get into any of that. Just rest assured that there's no easy way out of the situation. So, this year, we ended up having to be with in one house with my mom, my stepdad, and my sister and her husband for 3 weeks. Around 3 weeks. Around, I can't remember.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 it's to a blur. Three.
And we're, our minds are trying to block it out. But this is really tough for people like Lily and I. Lily and I, we like to have sex approximately 1.5 times a day. Don't ask how you have half sex. Not pretty. no, that's a mathematical rounding thing. No worries about it. Anyway, about like 1 to 2 times a day, we like to have sex. Not joking. That's a lot. I know that's a high number, but we're very active people. And even if we're not fully in the mood, we like to try to find time for, you know, it's not glorious, but a maintenance sex, you know, like, yeah, kind of like, well, let's do this because we both feel good. It's a good stress relief and we always feel better afterwards. We like to do it right before we go to bed so we can sleep. Anyway, 3 weeks where we're staying with family and like my mom and stepdad are one room over for us. This sucks.
And can we say they are completely vanilla? They don't know anything about all this stuff.
Well, no, they do know. We did eventually tell them. We did tell them that there is a website. I don't think they understand the podcast and nature of all that. But still, that doesn't give you the ability to... That doesn't give you the permission to have sex next to your... in the room next to your parents. So anyway, it was a really rough time for us. And one of the things that Lily and I found is we are just at each other's throats. So you go... 1 day, 2 days especially, like 2 days you're really pushing it.
And I get really crazy.
We just get really nasty with one another. It's not pretty. So here we are stuck in the situation. It's already stressful because of family. And I can't remember how long into the situation, but we just one night we ended up waking up at 4 a.m. and something had to be done about it because I think I start like humping you in the middle of the night. Like I have no control over it. I just wake up and I'm doing things and that's just no good. We can't have that happening. So like here we are like 4 a.m. around Christmas time and you know, we're having to sneak down to the floor all nice and quiet because the bed could creak or make a noise or bang or something like that.
And family is a very late sleeper.
And we're both trying to like, hold our breath down
low. I think I had a sock in my mouth, too, just
probably,
trying not to,
probably
not
to jammed mouth. A sock in there because you're generally pretty noisy. But, and yeah, and, like, trying to be so quiet. I just about passed out because I can't breathe as heavy as I usually can. Oh, and our door has to be open, too. That's the crazy thing. I didn't mention that. We can't close the door except for just moments at a time. If the parents are awake and we close the door, then it's like, what's going on in there? Nonsense. And... you know, during the night, we have to leave it open so the cat could go in and out. So here we are, door open, just trying to do this whole thing. Oh my gosh. But it's you know, we survived, we made it through, and now we're back to our usual, you know.
Horny selves.
Horny selves. Actually, the first weekend we got back, we were going like, I don't know, we did like eight times in one day. Yeah, it was crazy.
And aside from the sex, one thing I definitely wanted to touch upon just briefly was there was this one moment of clarity that we were sitting around. We had friends over for dinner at your sister's place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're just sitting there and everybody at the dining room table is just talking about something mundane and just...
No, the plates. They're talking about how many plates
Yeah, and they had to match.
Yeah, well, because my sister's like in this little like... I don't know, suburban style, like,
it's
gotta
like a
be better than the Joneses. So she was like worried she didn't have enough plates for like 8 people. And so has, you know, 9 plates, so she's short a plate and like it's a big social thing. And unless I'm mistaken, what you're getting at is that you realize that your priorities in life are a little different.
Oh, definitely different. I'm sitting here going, it's just fucking plates, people. Get the fuck over it. And, you know, it's something that I couldn't say because here I am, you know, the daughter-in-law. I'm supposed to be, you know, this nice, innocent, sweet girl.
Like,
and you can't say shit like that.
But I think it does emphasize, like, we live, like it or not, we're in an alternative lifestyle. And there's no turning back.
Mm-mm.
There's no putting the genie back in the bottle. When you start valuing stuff like plates and how they compare to, you know, the neighbors next door and stuff like that. Like,
or who has the better lights or yeah. anything like that.
I mean, it's one thing to compare dildo collections because that's what we do. but no, I mean, on a more serious note, it's like, you know, you got to make sure that your priority is in the right place. And I don't want to, when I'm on my deathbed, I doubt I'm going to care about how many freaking plates I have. Of course, then again, when I'm at a deathbed, am I going to care about how much sex I had? I don't know. That's an interesting question.
I'm kind of curious.
I think that I will be happier and live longer the more sex I have during my living life. That's my belief.
Yeah.
On that note, let's see, guys. We didn't really have any listener questions this time. You know, feel free to send anything our way, hashtag AskTrisexuals, or alternatively, you can actually log into our Telegram channel. Actually, I have to look up, what is the thing on that? Actually, we'll put a link in the show notes to the Telegram channel. You can chat with us live, the three trisexuals. You have Kit, Lily, and I. We'll all talk to you and have fun. It's like a good times. You know, we're in here live during the podcast. Ask us questions. Tell us other things, you know, whatever you want. Give us our horoscope. I don't know.
Just talk to us. You know, whatever.
So, thanks for listening, everyone. This is the Trisexuals Podcast, and I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
Be sure to join the Telegram, remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your friends, and be sure to explore your C-spot daily. That would be your chameleon spot.
Well, a leopard may not be able to change its spots, but as a kit, I'm always able to at least play with mine.
And always remember, whether you're trying to touch your P-spot, your A-spot, your PF-spot, all good.
All right, thanks everyone for listening. We miss you.
We love you. Bye.
Wait, where's the freaky pussy pump? I need to hit it. Give me the pussy pump.
Here's the pussy pump.
I need the pussy pump. We're going to pop you up. Thank you for listening. He's the meanest. He sucks the horse's penis. He's the meanest. He's the horse's ass. Hey, ever since he found it. Hey, all he does is pound it. He's the meanest. He's the horse's ass.